I want to today to try to finish a lot of the pieces that I have and trying to get to the end of this series on the Holy Spirit. I know they've already started selling that package. And if you haven't had the opportunity to get that, if you've always had questions about the Holy Spirit, the receiving the Holy Spirit from the time I'm saved, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going deeper, then I urge you to do that. I urge you to get that. But we're going to go even further. Is that okay? I want to answer the question, why, and what is it all about? What is it all about when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about His role in our life? If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures and hopefully go through them real fast. I gave them a list back there, and they're just going to have to pull them up as we go. But go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and 4. The first question I want us to deal with and answer as we close out this series and we wrap this thing up today is simply this. The reasons why I need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to pray in the Holy Spirit? It's been amazing. Of course, it seems like a month or two ago since we had our last service, or I was gone on vacation. It was only two weeks ago, but feels like I've been gone a month. And in that time, it was amazing to watch 20-something people lined up and sitting here and receiving the baptism, to see eight or so in the first service receive the baptism, and some are still pursuing and some are still seeking that confirmation in their life. But to watch people receive that, and then I knew what was happening because it was kind of ironic. I was fixing to go on vacation, and I knew what was going to take place. It was going to be real exciting for about a day or two, and then all of a sudden the new of that is going to wear off. What's happening in my life? What took place? In fact, it seems like it got tougher instead of getting better. It's real simple. When you're talking about praying or spending time in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, it is a daily thing. People will ask me, how often do you pray in the Spirit? How often do you? Every day of my life. There's not a day of my life that I don't pray in the Spirit. I pray in natural and I pray in the Spirit. It's just automatic. It's connected. The two are bound together. And here's the reason why it's imperative in my life. This is the reason why I have to do this. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians 14 and 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? Edifieth himself. In other words, he builds himself up. He strengthens himself. There is only so much I can do by just reading the Bible. There is just so much I can do by just simply praying in a regular way. God, help me. God, give me strength. There comes a moment, God says, that if you want to edify or you want to build up your spiritual man, you want him strong again, then you had better learn how to pray in the power of God. Because it is when the presence of God is stirred within you that it begins to build you up to allow you to become the person afresh and anew that you want to do. Because this is really what it's about. Regularly building ourselves up in God. When we talk about being afresh and anew, go back with me to Isaiah 28 verses 11 and 12. And let's remind ourselves of what those scriptures said. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Notice, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the what? Rest. Look at the person beside you and say, do you need rest? Wherewith we may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. So when God said, listen, I want to send the Spirit. When Jesus in the New Testament said, it's imperative that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. Why was he saying that? It's because, listen, there's only one antidote for rest in your spiritual life. There is only one antidote for refreshing. If you want to become strong again, if you want to feel like you just got saved again, if you want to feel like it's all new again, then the refreshing and the renewing comes from the times that I spend in the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. It's the way God designed it to be. In fact, go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that they will not, what? Hear, saith the Lord. This is what God ordained from times past. But he said what happens is men don't want to hear it, because what we want is we want some type of booklet. We want some type of pattern. We want some type of denomination. We want something to refresh us. We want to find some quick remedy that doesn't cause us to have to step too far outside our comfort zone to do our refreshing. Can I tell you, there's a lot of miserable people that are going to church this morning. There are a lot of unhappy people getting dressed, fussing all the way through the whole time, finally getting their clothes on, getting in the car, forcing themselves, look, now we're going to go to church, and more concerned about where they're going to eat afterwards, because that's the only good thing they can think about. Why? Because after the moment they got saved, there has yet to be a refreshing in their life. No, they've done church now. Don't get me wrong. They've got smarter. But I meet people all the time. And you probably walked into those buildings and churches where you walk in the back door and they're standing there and you find a seat and you think, am I in the wrong place? Why? Because the Holy Spirit was sent. The second thing is this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh what? The translation of that is simply this: divine secrets. Brother, what I want is God to speak to me. Well, that's easy. If he was to tell you something in your flesh, you wouldn't accept it anyway. It wouldn't do you any good. If God spoke something into your flesh, you'd, I don't know about that. Your flesh would fight it from the get-go. So how does God speak to us? The deep things. Even when we're Bible reading, how does he speak those truths? He speaks it into your spirit. It's the only place that he can speak it where it can be received, can be held on to, and won't be lost. And he says, listen, when you're praying in tongues, when you're speaking to God in unknown language, can I tell you what's taking place? All of a sudden, mysteries are taking place. All of a sudden, things are happening in your life that you can't even explain. Dreams are starting to build up. Visions are starting to happen. You start visioning buildings. You start visioning ministry. You start visioning what your family should be. You start visioning where you ought to live and what you ought to be doing. And all the things rise not out of your mind, not out of your soul, not out of just simply something you've read in a book, but it rises out of your spirit, because deep calls unto deep. So when somebody comes and says, God, just don't talk to me, then I can tell you your problem. You do a lot of talking in your flesh to God, but you can't listen in your spirit. Is this okay? Look at the person beside you and say, he's wrapping it up. Okay. And I don't have to jump around the stage and kick my leg. And we're just going to go through scriptures. I got a whole bunch of them. Speaking in tongues helps to keep us conscious of the presence of God in our life. While we're speaking to God, talking mysteries, do it, we start to know that God is real. You ever kind of get far enough away, kind of out of church long enough, or maybe just even doing church long enough, you start getting that thought, I wonder if God is real. People have asked me that all the time. They said, you ever doubt that God is real, or there's a heaven? And I've looked at them and said, yeah. Because if I spend too much time out of the presence of God, and this is all that I know about God, is a building and a church, and then, yeah, it just becomes another thing. But the presence of God allows me to realize that it is real. Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, provides a wonderful way to praise and to give thanks. Once I know that He's real, I'm spending time with Him. Notice what the Scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 through 17. What is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room or unlearned say amen and give thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Notice what he says. Are we giving thanks? Yes or no? Yes. When we're praying in an unknown tongue, we're giving thanks. We're speaking mysteries, giving thanks. The only problem with it is, does anybody else understand it? No. Nobody understands it. And it's kind of odd to be standing beside somebody saying something and you don't know what they're saying. Even though God is saying, I'm liking it. Yeah, but God is kind of weird. I agree. But don't ever think that it's not giving thanks. When somebody's praying and speaking, they're giving thanks to God. They're spending time with God. They're in the presence of God. Look at the person beside you and say, it's in the Bible. In fact, Acts 2 and 11 says it this way. The Cretes and the Arabians said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. In Acts 10 and 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It's all about praising. It's all about praising. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 22, we find out this thing, that tongues eventually are for a sign. Listen, for they heard, Acts or 1 Corinthians 14 and 22. Got it? Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. There are times when, as you're praying, speaking in tongues, people are hearing their language. They are hearing. In fact, it is some of the coolest, greatest stories you'll ever hear of missionaries when they go to other countries, because there is a huge language barrier. And some of the greatest stories that we ever hear in missionary work is when people go across to another place or to India or somewhere, and all of a sudden someone in the power of the Holy Spirit begins to speak in the language that they're in. In fact, one of the powerful stories that I love is simply this one. It was a story of a missionary who went to Africa. Garlock and Miss Garlock went to Africa to speak and to try to win the pawns, P-A-H-N-S, pawns. They were a very, let's just say, they were cannibals. They were a rough tribe. And they were going to go there. Well, they got there, and he realized real quickly that this was not working because a few days, came down with malaria. When she came down with malaria, he sent a group. He said, look, we've got to get some medicine. I need you to go. They said, we can't go that way. That is the pawns country. If we try to cut through there, we're going to get caught and they'll eat us. That's just all there is to it. They'll eat us. And he said, look, we've got to have the medicine. And he sent that delegation through there. And it wasn't long. One of them returned and said, look, they got caught. They're in the camp right now. They have them tied up. It's not good. We've got to rescue them. Mr. Garlock said, nobody else go. I'll go by myself. With no weapons, no anything, he walks right up into the middle of the tribe, walks right by the security because they had never seen a white man in their life. And he walks right through and gets right to the middle of the place, unties them, and as they're walking out, the tribesmen go berserk. They start screaming, hollering. He says, everybody, let's just sit down. They sit down. A About that time, the witch doctor in that camp came out and he spent about an hour just going off. Couldn't understand nothing they were saying, but he was just going off and getting them more and more riled. And as it quietened down, he knew it was his time to speak. All he could remember was the scripture says is that when you open your mouth, I will fill it. He knew he was in a country nobody spoke English. He stood up and began to talk. And for 25 minutes, he spoke in the language of the palms. For 25 minutes, he shared with them the gospel in their own language. There are times when we speak mysteries. There are times, but listen to me, unless you have an avenue where God can use you beyond the normal, you will never have those opportunities. The power of the Holy Spirit is designed for one thing, to take you beyond what you can do in your own flesh. Yes, you can hand out pamphlets. Yeah, you can tell somebody they need God. Yeah, you can, but I'm going to tell you something. You cannot touch a person's heart. It takes the power of God to touch hearts. And the more power you have, the more hearts you can touch. That's why Jesus told them, you stay here in Jerusalem. You don't go anywhere. You don't go win the world until you be endued with power from on high. Why? Because this was God's plan from the beginning. Do all speak with tongues, Brother Lott? Well, here's a scripture that we get kind of messed up. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 30. In fact, verse 28 through 30. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, others teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The question that is raised in this is talking about the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Now, I need to answer this in a broader way. Is that okay? Because it's a wonderful question. Let me explain it to you in this way as we begin in this process. There's a totally different avenue when we talk about the different gifts that God gives. To each one of us in this room, He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, your personal prayer language, your personal time with God, your personal. But when we step outside our personal time and we move into the place where God wants to manifest and God wants to do great things in our life, now we're in a different avenue and a different realm. And He says, listen, do all have to be teachers? Do all need to be prophets? Do all need to speak in tongues? Do all? No. He said, listen, the Spirit is going to raise up individually every single one that is needed. And He gives to each person that is needed in whatever time it's needed. Let me show it to you this way. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5 and 22. I want to show you the work of the Holy Spirit through your life. Is that okay? Let's look at it this way. From the time you are saved, the Holy Spirit is working in your life. He is trying to manifest Himself. Look at the person beside you and say, the Holy Spirit's trying to manifest through your life. Well, how does it begin? From the time I accept Jesus Christ and I say, Lord, I need You. I need You to come into my life because I can't live the way I want to live. I can't be who I want to be. What we're doing is we're denouncing our natural person. We're denouncing the natural man. And we're saying that, God, I need something or somebody stronger than who I am because I can't keep myself from looking this away. I can't keep myself from acting this away. I am messed up to the core. I have done things. I am a sinner. sinner and I need to be saved. And what we think most of the time when we say that is that we're just saying that we just need our sins forgiven. But when God sees it, He sees it from another perspective. He says, no, what you need is the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Notice how He says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no what? There is no law. Here's what Paul is saying. When the moment you are saved, the moment you come into Christ, the Holy Spirit begins His work in your life. And it's not manifestation gifts. It's not simply just trying to make you some freak show. What He wants to do is to simply give you a life that lives above reproach. The first step in the Christian walk is not to simply be able to pray in tongues or to act funny or to flop in the floor. Because let me explain this to you. If you do that and you get up and you live like a dog when you go outside, then let me explain this. You haven't given God any glory at all. All you've done is bring a mockery to the power of what God wants to do. You're trying to, in your flesh, do something that's not designed that way. But what is supposed to happen is that on the moment I'm saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He comes in and begins to live in my life. And the first thing He says is, Tim, before we go any deeper, I want some fruits coming out of your life. I want you to be a fruit producer every day. I want you to produce love, and I want you to produce joy. I want you to produce meekness and temperance and long-suffering. I want you to produce kindness. I want you to do all of this. Let me explain something to you. More than going to church, more than singing in a choir, more than doing anything else in your life, if you can produce the fruits of the Spirit, then you're on the path to doing something great for God. It's where it begins. It begins with us realizing that He wants to produce the fruit. Now, as He produces fruit in our life, it moves us to another level. It moves us to a place to where God says, you know what? Now let's move on to something else. I want to begin, and here's the hard part. Some of us have the fruits, but we want to end right there. Okay, Brother Lott, I got saved. I'm not slapping my wife anymore. I mean, I don't cuss like I used to. I'm a lot better person. Now, what are they doing? They're producing the what? The fruits of the Spirit. And for some of us, that's where we like to stay. We just, there can't be any more. No, there are. The second level that God wants you to go to then is your motivational gifts. Turn with me in your Bible. And let's go to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 6 through 8. And I want you to look at these. Having then gifts differing, look at the person beside you and say, you have different gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with... What are these, Brother Lott? They're not the fruits of the Spirit. No, they're your motivational gifts. See, every one of us in this room have a piece of God inside of us that God says, I want to manifest in this world. Now, it's going to begin by you first surrendering your life and allowing my Spirit to work through you, to work inside of your life so that I can mold you and fashion your attitude, and you're able to be receptive and you're able to move. But the moment that takes place, here's the key. You, each one of us in this room, have motivational gifts that we automatically do. You don't even have to be saved to have motivational gifts. You can be a philanthropist. You can give away thousands of dollars and not even be saved. It just may be your motivational gift. You may have a gift of mercy, and that's what you operate out of.
And what happens is when you see something on TV, that's why when they show the St. Jude's on TV or they show kids starving in some country, do you think they're targeting Christians? Who do you think they're targeting? They're targeting givers who have the gift of giving and the gift of mercy. And they show these poor kids sitting there with an empty bowl and they're saying, can you stand to let this kid? What are they pulling on? They're pulling on your motivational gift. They're pulling on that gift that comes now. Now, some of us just flip the channel like, I don't watch that junk. Some of us don't operate out of that gift. Some of us operate out of prophecy. If you ever meet judges or you meet certain people that go into certain, a lot of times law enforcement and different things like this, you know that's what they're operating out of? Because prophecy is simply this. It doesn't mean I'm telling the future. Prophecy literally just means that what I'm doing is I see the world or I see things in black and white. When I say exhortation, it means I have the gift of encouraging people. All right, let's put it this way. If you heard that somebody was in the hospital, are you compelled to go check on them?
The one that's sitting here, I ain't going to no hospital, don't care no, but.
But if you have the gift of encouragement, man, you're already baking a cake. You're already finding out what they're doing. You're already. See, I have people in my church that I know who have the gift of encouragement. I don't have it. I can pretend I have it every now and then. Anybody ever do that? You just act like you care? Can we be honest? I'm sorry. Now, the Holy Spirit inside of me has already gave me love and temperance and gentleness and love. We're not talking about my attitude. But what we're talking about is my giftedness. When I hear somebody's in a hospital, nothing motivates me to want to start baking a cake or to take food over to their house. All that I'm thinking is, I believe in the name of Jesus, they are going to get better. Why? Because when I'm prophecy is a black and white, issue and principle-driven person. Just give me the bottom line. What do you need? Give me the bottom line. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? Here's what we got to do to get there. Well, you're not going to hug me? If you need a hug, I'll hug you. If you need me to take you to McDonald's, I'll take you to McDonald's. But sooner or later, we got to do this. Does this make sense to any of you? Because some of you get real frustrated because you think, well, what's wrong with me? Here's the key. First, you realize the Holy Spirit's working inside of me. He is giving the fruits of the Spirit. He's trying to grow. It's trying to grow out of me love and compassion and gentleness. And all of that is to come out. I am to be a meek person, a gentle person, a kind person, all of that. But my natural motivation gift is what God has given me. And He's saying, I want you to operate out of that and give it to me and let me use it for the glory of God. That's why a singer who has the ability and loves doing, all of a sudden they give that to God, they're a Christian singer. If they say, you know what, I'm going to take my gifts and what I desire and what I like, and I'm going to go put it out here and I'm going to sell it for what it's worth. See, God is saying, listen, every person that ever has a voice to sing was designed to be a Christian singer. Every person that ever gave to help a cause was meant to use that gift to glorify God in their giving. Every person that ever did anything, exhorted anybody, encouraged anybody, should at the end say, you know what? Thank you so much. Don't thank me. Look, it's just God. What if every time you did any deed in your life, you gave God the glory? Just those things that come natural to you. And when we talk about motivational gifts, this is what we're talking about. Exhortation, giving. Some people are givers. That's your gift. God's given you a business mind and a beautiful mind to be able to do business and to do those things. And here's the key. Your goal in life is to give and to see people blessed and to see. Let me explain this. Giving is a gift. Teaching. But instead of teaching a Sunday school class and giving your time, because Lord knows, I don't have time to do that, Brother Lodge, but yet I'll give 50 hours a week to a school. Because my gift of teaching, I want to teach. But I ain't got time to teach Sunday school. See, our problem is we have motivational gifts. It's just whether or not we'll give them to God. It's whether or not we will allow God to use them. Now, thirdly, there are manifestation gifts. Turn with me in your Bibles. Let's go one more place. Let's go to Corinthians one more time. Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Verses 4 through 14. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in. So whether it is your fruits, whether it is your motivation, or whether what we're fixing to talk about manifestation, it is all from who? God. And who is to get glory? God. But the manifestation of the Spirit, here we notice now, we've changed subjects. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, in a different category, is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he does what? As he wills. He says, listen, these gifts I use as I want to use when I want to use them. Let's look at them real carefully. If we talk about, and let's bust these into categories, is that okay? There are nine of them. There are nine manifestation gifts. Let's first call this group the gifts of insight. Look at the person beside you and say, have you ever operated in the gift of insight? See, some of y'all never have learned any of this stuff in the Bible. This is fun. This is cool stuff. Man, this beats just going to church to death. I'm talking about you can carry this to Walmart. You can do some cool stuff with God, not just simply trying to, Lord, teach me to love, teach me to forgive, and teach me. If you spend your whole life dealing with fruits, you're going to live a very miserable Christian life. If all your prayers are is, Lord, help me forgive, help me to be a better. If you ever get off into some gifts, now, hang on for the ride. Because first, there's gifts of insight. Discernment. Discernment means to discriminate. Discriminating between spirits. Is this a demonic spirit? Is this a godly spirit? There's sometimes I can walk in a room and God can point out just as clear, that's a demon, and that's a demon, and that's a demon. I can get a phone call from somebody and when I talk to them on the phone, God can say, that ain't the right spirit. Where does that come? Not from me. I ain't ever met them. Some of them I've never even talked to. But there are discernments of spirit that comes. Is it an angel? Is it the spirit of a man? The spirit of God? What is the nature of the spirit? What is the intent of this spirit? I'm talking about discerning. I even, as you're going along, when you're doing this, as somebody's talking, you even know what they want before they ask. And for me, that's really hard because remember now I have the gift of prophecy. So all I'm doing is listening to God saying, Tim, what they're talking about ain't really what they want. And so my question is, what is it you really want? I'm not baking you a cake. second one is this, the word of knowledge. Supernaturally given knowledge. Facts that I would not have known any way other than by divine nature. Standing there talking to somebody, and as you're talking to them, all of a sudden God reveals something about their life, and you point them and you say, you did this when you were young. How did you know that? A lot of times when I'm praying with people at the altar, that's what I operate in a lot of the time, is the gift of knowledge. Because here's the thing, God's already spoke to them. All they need me to do is confirm that what God has spoken. So as I'm going along, I said, look, God's told you to do this. I remember going and preaching revival, me and Jason, years ago, and we had to spend a night in the church, and we both had to sleep in the church together. It was pretty cool. It was a neat experience. But I always remember it because Jason was helping me on this, and I remember this lady came up, and she came up for prayer. And she said, I don't know what God wants from me. And for some reason, as we began to pray and I laid hands on her, God just very clearly said she needs to take seriously cooking and baking. And I'm like, okay, I'm fixing to offend this lady if she don't cook and bake. I mean, it's kind of a weird moment now. You need to cook and bake. No, your flesh is saying, and your spirit is saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I whispered in her ear as Jason was standing there, and I said, listen, the Spirit is telling me to tell you this right now, whatever this means to you. I said, you need to take seriously the cooking that you do and the baking you do. And she just broke down and started crying. The power of God just fell on her. She got refreshed and renewed, and I thought, well, whatever that was. Well, after church, I walked to the back, and the pastor called me over and said, you didn't know this, because this was the first service. I just walked in. But sitting in the back was just some, like, fried pies and stuff, and she was doing that to guests and visitors and people that were coming in. That was her ministry. But she was not taking it to the level that God had called her to. And whatever God had come, maybe she was supposed to bake cakes for people in the hospital. I don't know what her level was, but whatever it was, God was calling her to that. And God said, I want you to tell her that me and her have been talking about this, and she won't listen to me, but maybe she'll listen to you. It's an incredible moment. Sometimes parents have that with children. If you're a godly parent, you ain't got to worry about it. God will reveal things to you. You don't have to try to sneak around and find out what your kids are doing. You can be sitting in your living room and all of a sudden, something ain't right with Taylor. Something's not right. There's the word of wisdom. This means solution-driven insight. The application of knowledge to be given to a problem. The other three are this. Gifts of ability. All of a sudden now, I've moved into a different realm of miracles. Experiences that come as the gift of God supersedes the natural order and power of this world and does something miraculous. Healing. Supernaturally giving cures. Faith. Now this is not a normal faith. This is a faith that goes beyond normal. This is a faith that allows you to do what you could not have done within yourself. You ever reach those points in your life to where God just gives you courage where you never had courage, and you just got faith where you, I don't care what the doctor just told you, something in you just wiped the tears out of your eyes and said, look, God, I don't receive that. God is not telling me to receive that. And in the name of Jesus, that's not how this is going to play out. It's not a natural faith. It's supernatural. Then there are the gifts of speech. There's tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Tongues can mean the experience of speaking in a language you've never spoke. It can mean that in a church service you speak in tongues, which is different than just praying in tongues. It is the moment where God speaks through the Holy Spirit to the congregation, and it is a powerful moment. You can hear everybody in the crowd. You can hear a pin drop when the power of God moves up. And then there are some people who have the interpretation of tongues. Not only can they simply hear that in a service, but they have the ability, if somebody is speaking a language, to understand what they're saying. God's covered every base to make sure that you can do something for Him. Then there's the gift of prophecy, the speaking forth of a timely word that edifies others or confirms. Let me see if I can give this to you as we wrap this up. Here's what God wants. Kenneth, come up here. Let's say Kenneth wants to do something for God. Let's say this morning Kenneth wants to get serious about letting God use his life. Where would Kenneth want to start? Where on the levels does he want to start? Fruits of the... So the first thing Kenneth would do is he would say, God, search me. Check me. Grow me. Give me a heart to want to do what you want to do. Give me a heart to want to be who you want me to be. Give me a heart to want to care for people. To be that person I'm called to be. Isn't that what most of us pray? I want to be useful for the kingdom. I want you to. And God begins to build the fruits in your life so that people, they want to be around you. They notice your personality. You're not mean anymore. You're gentle and you're kinder. And all of a sudden now my grandkids want to be around me. And that's an awesome thing. They never wanted to be around me. Now all of a sudden, hey, they want to ride in the truck with me. It's cool.
It is. Yeah.
Now once I start demonstrating some of the fruits of the Spirit in my life. For some of us in this room, that's where we're at. We need to get serious about God taking some of that anger out and some of that envy out and some of the stuff that people notice when we walk in the room. We walk into a room, people's like, ooh. We need to change that. We need to let the Holy Spirit get us to where when we walk in the room, everybody's like, good to see you. But now once I get that done, then my next step is to do what? To surrender my motivational gifts to God. What is your motivational gift?
Giving.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my thing. I got a good heart, and I found this old guy on the side of the road. He's in tough shape. He's not doing so good. He's not going along so well. Come up here, Sam. Poor old Sam. Mm. So you found you somebody. So you start. How would you give to poor old Sam? Sam ain't got a job. Sam ain't got. I mean, it's just rough on Sam right now. So what would be Kenneth's way of giving?
I'd have to talk to him first and see where he's at.
All right. So you talk to him. And see where he's at. Maybe.
As the Spirit speaks.
All right. So the Spirit's going to speak for you to use your motivational gift. So the Spirit is telling you, okay, Kenneth, he needs a job. So you might say, look, it's kind of tough, but I'm going to pay you to work with me. All right. So you're giving. You buy him some groceries sometime. Maybe even get him a cell phone and you put it on your bill. I know Kenneth wouldn't do nothing like that.
I've done it before.
You've done it before?
That's why.
Kenneth has the motivational gift of giving. But the problem is giving can get you into deeper water. That's why we don't like to use our motivational gift, isn't it? Because if we bake a cake for somebody who don't appreciate that cake,
well, I ain't baking no more cakes. I'll tell you that much. Spent money.
That's where I'm at.
So what we have to be able to do, that's where he's at right now. See, when we start using those motivational gifts, it's scary because this is who we are. And we're sharing. It's one thing to just tell somebody, look, I'm praying for you, bro. It's another thing to say, you know, I care about you. And if I can help, you call me. But we really don't even give them our number. You call me. Well, I don't have your number. Here, I'll get it for you before I leave.
Yeah, That's it.
But we done locked in. Sam is the person God has put in our life. And now God is not only saying, look, you can't be just giant, kind, and gentle. And I mean, Sam's around you because he senses that. He knows Kenneth's a good guy. If I can have a friend, I want Kenneth. So those fruits are working. But now I got to use that motivational gift. So, put Sam in the truck, start paying for his cell phone, start going and all this. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, Sam isn't growing anymore.
Right.
He's done, it's like, I'm doing everything I can, God. I'm doing all I know to do. And it's not working.
Right.
They're not getting any better. I feel like they're taking advantage of me. What has to happen next? Somewhere in this process, God has to manifest. Now, He might manifest in several different ways. He might manifest in a word of prophecy. You might say, Sam, I need to talk to you. God's been speaking to me now, and here's something I need to say into your life. And if I'm off base, you let me know, but this is what God's saying. And all of a sudden, you start talking about things that only Sam would know. And Sam in that truck that day starts crying and saying, look, I ain't told nobody about that. Do you see how God can step beyond your natural? Or maybe He's got bondages in His life and He's saying, Kenneth, I'm trying, but I'm still hooked on ice. And I'm telling you, I'm having a hard time. And I don't sleep good and life's not good. You've given all you can give. You've done your motivational gift. But now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes into that place where you're all talking. And you say, Sam, I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to pray for you. And when I do, that bondage is going to fall off of you. And you're going free today from that. And God does a miracle that day in that truck. You see what I'm talking about? This is what we don't see in the church anymore. What we see normally is somebody doing all they know to do. And when they've done all they know to do we do with Sam? We just give up. I can't help Sam. I done all I can do for Sam. And because we don't ever move beyond the fruits of the Spirit or our motivational gifts, we're the same people that say, well, I don't ever see miracles anymore. No, we don't ever have miracles. Let me tell you something. Miracles come because you've exhausted everything there. And you've exhausted all your love. And all of a sudden now, God is saying, now, when you don't have any more, I'm fixing to do what only I can do. I'm going to do it through you, but everybody's going to know it wasn't you. It's like Peter and John standing there the day at the temple. Silver and gold have we not. Why? Because God had already spoke and He had fixed His eyes on that man. And all of a sudden, I can't give you enough to make your life right. I've done all I can do. But God all of a sudden speaks and says, today is a different day. Today you're not going to give him a quarter. Today you're not going to drop some money in his can. Today you're going to grab him by the wrist. Today you're going to yank him up on his feet. Today you're going to tell him in the name of Jesus, you're going to go free. And today, this man is not going to be lame, not one more day.
Thank you, guys.
This is what the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for the church to rise up and be what they were called to be. Our problem is that we have not realized that we were called to be a kingdom of priests. The whole purpose of God calling you is that you would be a priest in this world, representing Him with His authority and His power. Now, we expect that out of Pastor Lott or a few other people we know. We expect them to walk into a room and, man, I'm telling you what, you feel it when they... God is expecting every single one of us to have that. He's expecting every one of us to have that at our house. Our kids ought to feel that coming off of us. At work, people ought to feel that coming off of us. It ought to change the environment of where we're at. Why? Because we are walking in the authority of God, and we are simply being ambassadors for Him, and not weak ambassadors, not just somebody just taking it on the chin, but we are royal ambassadors, priesthood that is called by God to stand and give good works. Not just simply our attitude, which is the fruits of the Spirit. Not just just simply our motivational gift, which is our motivational gift, but to every now and then, when somebody's in deep need, beyond what we can do naturally, beyond how we care, we're able to step into a realm with the Holy Spirit, and we pull out prophecies and healings and miracles and words of knowledge, and we're able to do things that most people could never imagine possible. This is how a world is changed. This is what God has called us to do. We're a kingdom of priests. We have to change our evangelism style. And I'm coming to a close. Much of our evangelism today is simply this. It's confrontational. We try to get somebody that we know needs God. We try to put them in a place, maybe it's a church, play a lot of God music, get them feeling really uncomfortable. Tell them they need God. They're going to die and go to hell if they don't find God. And we hope that they come to an altar and get their sins forgiven. The second area must change is this. We get so focused on the decision. Well, you need to give your life to God. What does that mean? When we tell somebody, we want you to give your life to God, what are we telling them? Most of the time, it's simply this. Like I said, we just want you to confess your sins, get saved, maybe join the church, start being a tithe payer, and just sit there and don't mess up. If you can do that for 30 years before you die, you have been a successful Christian. Let me give you a statistic, and if this hits you, good. 95% of Christians in the world today, 95% of Christians in the world today have never won anyone to God. I want that to rattle in your brain for a second. How many people have you won to the Lord? Not invited to church and Pastor Lot finished the deal for you. How many people have you won to the Lord because of the fruits in your life, because of the motivational gifts in your life, because of God doing miracles, mighty works in your life? 95%. And we wonder why we're not excited. And the world's not exciting. What has to change is the way we see inviting people. I'm not worried. In fact, most of the time people criticize and they say, well, you don't even preach on getting saved. I just take it for granted everybody thinks they're saved anyway. I meet people all the time and I ask them, are you saved?
Oh, yeah, I got saved when I was 4.
You couldn't tell it. If I was to take a lie detector test at that moment, I'd have to tell you, I don't think you're saved, dude. But if you ask them the question, yeah. Why? Because when I got saved, all anybody wanted me to do was to say I was sorry, get baptized, and then... And if the world is going to change, that has to change. We have to reach a point in our life when what we're doing is we're asking people, do you want to give your life to God? Would it be okay that if God used you as a martyr sometime before you die, would that be okay with you? Would it be okay with you if God says, I may use you, put you in places and circumstances so that I might get glory and that I might win souls? Is that okay with you? Brother Lot, I'd like to do that, but I'm not ready. That's okay, because that's why in Ephesians he says, I've given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Let me tell you something. If you got some pastor and all he preaches on is, are you saved? And he stands in front and nobody ever comes up front, you're in a bad situation. You better find somebody whose job, he knows what it is, and it's to help you become perfected to the point to where you can win your grandkids to the Lord. You can win your kids to the Lord. You can win your neighbor to the Lord. You can win the person you work with to the Lord. Because let me tell you something, if you don't do it, Brother Lot or whoever pastor you got ain't probably coming to your house, and he's probably not coming to your workplace. God called you to simply be what he's called you to be, to come out and to give your life so that he can grow fruits in your life, so that you can take those motivational gifts and say, let's use them for the glory of God. And when you reach the points in your life and you say, Brother Lot, I can't do anymore. I've done everything I can do. That God shows up then and does something miraculous and changes the course and the tide. That's what God wants to do in this world. And he's looking for people who will get on board and say, I want to be a part of a church like that. That's why they said in the Bible times, the people who have turned the world upside down have come here. Will you stand? So if you are one of those that received the baptism, you have a prayer language. Brother Lot, how often do I need to pray? All the time. Every opportunity. Let God continue to grow you, because the goal was not, because just like in some denominations, the goal is always just to get people saved. Well, because I come from a Pentecostal background, guess what our goal was? To get you in tongues. We thought if we ever got you speaking in tongues, you done, you there now. Can I tell you, they're both wrong. Being saved is part of the process. Receiving the baptism is part of the process. But what God really wants to do with your life is he wants to have such fruits coming off of it that people just are attracted to you. He wants your motivational gifts showing so that people, when they look at you, they think, man, I want to be like you. And when they see manifestations, they think, I want what you got. If you're in this room today, I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come up here. And if you're here this morning and there's things you need to pray about, maybe there's fruits that need to be grown. Maybe there's commitment that you need to make. And I want you to do it. Maybe there's somebody in here, this is our last service on the baptism, but you say, Brother, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive that gift. I've heard you talk about the Holy Spirit for the last 6 weeks. I want that to be added to my life. I want Him not only to be working fruits in my life, but I want Him to manifest in my life. As I dismiss, if you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you came. We hope that we didn't do anything today to make you think less of church or God. We hope that what we've done is maybe sparked something in your life, made the relationship stronger. But if you're wanting that, then I'm going to step right over here to this side. If that's something you want, then let's do that today. It won't take very long. That gift's already been given. You can receive that gift. If you're saved this morning, committed to God this morning, you're a candidate. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. God, when people see me, they don't see me. Tim Lott died a long time ago. Tim was not a very nice person. Pretty messed up. God, people got to see fruits that came because of your Spirit. The time I spend with you praying and spending time growing in your presence, God, it helps me to be using my motivational gifts. It helps me to give my life wholly and completely to it. And God, when they see me pray with somebody or something happen in service or some miracle take place, and people say, man, how did that happen? God, they're only seeing you. My prayer this morning, Father, is that they could take that, share it where they work, with their family. God, if there's people hungry for that, people you're speaking to right now, I ask that you would motivate them. Pull them out of where they are. Let them know that there's so much more. It's not about getting saved and sitting down. It's not about just getting the Holy Spirit one time, but it's about being refilled all the time. It's about doing great exploits for the kingdom. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you need someone to pray with you, they're here. If you're wanting to receive the baptism, I'll be over here on this side.